Welcome back, everyone. I'm James, and as always, I'm joined by my brilliant co-host, Lisa.
I'm really excited about today's topic. We're diving into constructivism and active learning, two concepts that are absolutely essential for effective teaching.
Absolutely. Constructivism isn't just this abstract theory floating around in educational research. It's really a practical approach to teaching that makes learning meaningful. So, to kick things off, Lisa, how would you sum up constructivism in one sentence?
Good question. In a nutshell, constructivism is the idea that learners build new knowledge on top of what they already know. It's all about active engagement, doing, reflecting, testing ideas, and interacting with others to make learning stick.
Right. And one of the most important aspects of this approach is that it focuses on learners being active participants. They're not just passively absorbing information, they're actually constructing understanding through experiences.
Exactly. And there's science to back this up. For instance, Piaget and Aucibel talk about how new ideas anchor to existing mental structures. Then there's Vygotsky, who emphasizes the importance of social interaction, how learners achieve more when they collaborate, with guidance or scaffolding.
And modern neuroscience supports this too, doesn't it? Experimental tasks and social learning actually create new connections in the brain. The more we engage in doing, the stronger and more durable those connections become.
That's right. And when you combine this with Kolb's learning cycle, experience, reflect, conceptualize, and test, you get a framework that really explains how deep learning happens. Reflection and testing are so critical.
I love that cycle. It's such a clear way to think about how we learn. But let's make this concrete for our listeners. What does constructivist, active learning actually **look** like in a classroom?
Great question. Imagine a classroom where students are designing and testing a three-legged stool. One student might be trying it on an uneven floor, another sketching observations, while two others debate design ideas. Meanwhile, the teacher's nearby, guiding and providing feedback. That's constructivism in action.
That's such a vivid example. And it's a far cry from rows of desks and direct instruction, isn't it? It's hands-on, collaborative, and totally engaging.
Exactly. It's student-centered, meaning it starts from their ideas and prior knowledge. It's also social. There's purposeful peer talk and co-construction of understanding. And don't forget the metacognitive element. Students are constantly reflecting on what they're learning and how they're learning it.
I think the metacognition piece is so powerful. Teaching students to think about their own thinking, planning, monitoring, and evaluating their learning really helps them become independent learners.
Absolutely. And it's not just about what they're learning. It's about how they can apply it in real-world contexts. That's why tasks need to be authentic, like designing that stool or solving real-world problems. It makes the learning transferable.
And transferability is the ultimate goal, isn't it? We're not just teaching facts, we're teaching students how to use what they learn in new situations.
That's the key. And teachers have so many practical tools to support this kind of learning. For example, starting with diagnostic checks like concept maps or quick interviews to see what students already know. That way, you can anchor new tasks to their existing knowledge.
I like that approach. It's about meeting students where they are and then designing meaningful tasks that build on that foundation. What about scaffolding? That's a big part of constructivism, isn't it?
It is. Scaffolding means providing just enough support to help students succeed, but gradually pulling back as they gain confidence and competence. For instance, you might model a strategy first, then let students try it with prompts, and eventually have them work independently.
And that ties into Kolb's cycle again, doesn't it? You give them a concrete experience, then guide them through reflection and conceptualization before they apply what they've learned in a new situation.
Exactly. And along the way, you build in opportunities for metacognition, like asking students, what surprised you about this task? Or what will you do differently next time? It's all about helping them become better learners.
It's such a thoughtful approach. But I imagine some teachers might wonder how to keep assessments aligned with these ideas. Any tips?
Definitely. First, Formative assessment is key. Frequent, low-stakes checks like one-minute papers or quick quizzes to guide the learning process. And when it comes to summative assessment, focus on understanding and application. Use rubrics that evaluate reasoning and transfer, not just recall.
That's a great point. And I think it's so important to create a classroom environment where students feel safe to take risks and learn from mistakes. Without that, they might hold back.
Absolutely. Building trust and valuing mistakes as part of the learning process is crucial. And it's also vital to avoid over-scaffolding. If we never release responsibility, students can become dependent instead of confident.
So true. All right, before we wrap up, let's give our listeners a quick example of a constructivist lesson they could try tomorrow. What about that three-legged stool activity you mentioned earlier?
Perfect. Here's how it could go. Start with a quick demonstration. Show a three-legged stool that's stable versus a four-legged stool that wobbles. Then ask students, why do you think the three-legged stool doesn't wobble? That's your diagnostic check.
And then they move into the task, right? Designing their own stool?
Exactly. In groups, they design a stool that won't wobble on uneven ground. They can build a model or simulate it. After that, they reflect on what they noticed and what challenges they faced. Then, as a class, you connect their observations to geometry, like the idea that three non-collinear points define a plane.
And finally, give them a transfer challenge, like predicting whether a three-legged desk would be stable on rocky terrain. It's a fantastic way to solidify the concept.
Exactly. And you can wrap up with a metacognitive activity. Ask students to write down one strategy they use to remember the rule and one question they still have. It ties everything together.
I love that. Well, Lisa, this has been such an insightful discussion. Constructivism and active learning really are game changers in education.
They are, James. And for our listeners, remember, learning isn't just about what students know, but about how they learn and apply that knowledge. With constructivism, you're helping them build something truly lasting.
Well said. Thanks for tuning in.